I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. These things are very real. It matters so much what you hear and what you see, because depending on where those words and those, vision and imaginations are coming from, it'll either be robbing you of your faith, it can be putting fear into you, it can be confusing you, or if it's coming from God, it's putting faith into you. Hallelujah. Ministering life to you, peace to you, grace and help to you. And so what Faith School is about is giving the Lord our full attention for a period of time and focusing on what He said to us and allowing His Spirit to minister this to us. And it really does feed your inner man. And it really does cause you to be built up and strengthened. And it really does teach us how to live the overcoming life God ordained that we should. Everybody said out loud, I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
I'm an overcomer.
I'm victorious.
Again and again.
In Christ.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much for these glorious truths that You have created us to win, to triumph, to be victorious, to overcome. And so we submit ourselves before You again and ask You for utterance, for revelation, for direction, for anointing, for all of us to have eyes, ears, and heart that can see, hear, and receive answers for now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we are going one by one through 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that out loud? I am sure.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for us all. If you say, well, you know, if it was God's will, wouldn't it be happening? Well, if it was God's will, wouldn't everybody be saved? Huh? No. See, God has given us a free will. We can choose to believe or not believe. We can choose to obey or rebel. And so, no, He's not going to force something on us against our will, even though it's His will. He really has given us a choice and a free will. And so we're looking at what He said because we want to choose what He said. You want to be on His side.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Because if you'll do that, He's committed to be on your side and to be the God who helps you and keeps you. So we're going one by one through these great truths in the Word of God. The first one was, the Lord is my shepherd. Then the goodness of God. Then the fatherhood of God. The creation of God. God's will in heaven. The God of Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham. The blessing of tithing. Honor and riches. Wisdom and wealth. Being imitators of God. In every one of these we have seen, not just my idea or somebody else's opinion, we've seen scriptures that reveal a God who is a provider, a God who wants you to have not just the basic necessities, but abundance, and even to enjoy good things. Well, when did he change? This is something that we're getting into now in our 12th reason. Go with me again to Exodus, the third chapter. We're down to reason number 12, and that is the great I am. We're sure it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision because He is the great I am. Now, what does that mean? He revealed Himself to Moses and to all of His people that He delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And, of course, this is given to all of us today. Who is He? When He asked, and this was in verse 13, Exodus 3:13, Moses is standing by this bush that's on fire. And he saw it from a distance, and he was thinking, well, you know, it'll burn up and go out here pretty quick, but it didn't. And so he got closer, and he realized this thing's just burning away, but it's not being consumed. I mean, the bush is just as good a shape as it was minutes ago. This is a sign. Something's going on here that's beyond the natural. And so when he drew close to it, God spoke to him out of the fire. And after he had said some things to him, Moses said to God, "When I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What will I say to them? Who do I tell them that I talk to here and that sent me to them to deliver them?" In verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel." Basically, the name is I am. And he's answering the question, who do I say sent me? He said, you say that I am is that I am. And then he said, "You say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am. What does that mean? Well, it means how we read it in the English. If you look up the words, the word am, it means, translated there, it means to be. Or I think a very good word in our language is exist. Mm-hmm. To exist. And this covers so many areas. And like we said, we saw this on yesterday's class, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, what is faith? Faith involves believing something. And He said, he that comes to God must believe that He is. Well, that's the same idea. Actually, NIV says, must believe He exists. It's a choice. We see in our world today, millions of people deny that God even exists. So they certainly don't pray to a God that they don't even believe exists. Now, like we said yesterday, if things go bad, a lot of times they get mad at a God they said don't even exist. Well, that's delusional, right? Well, I mean, that's ridiculous to be mad at something that doesn't exist. But He does exist.
Yes, He does.
And He's not the problem. He's the answer.
Yes.
And if you're going to come to God and be able to contact Him and have a response from Him, remember He said, if we draw near to Him, He would draw near or close to us. But in order for that to happen, you must believe He exists. It's a choice. And, you know, it's since you're not the creator and He's not dependent on you, you're dependent on Him. You can't say, well, prove to me that you exist and I might decide to believe. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Does he? How are you going to affect Him by your little ignorant stance? No, if you just check your heart and be honest for a moment, your heart's going, he exists. He's real. Why? Because down to the smallest cell in your body and the parts of your being that you cannot see, the spirit, the soul, are dependent on him every millisecond for your existence. All things are upheld and held together by the power of his word, the word of his power. The reason the planets don't just fling off into the darkness. What's holding them in orbit? What's keeping the nuclear action of the sun, the star, are going? What's keeping all that going? And if you study things on an atomic level, the electrons and the nucleus and all these things, what's keeping them together? Why don't they just, fly apart? The word of his power. Hallelujah. When he spoke it into existence, there's that word again, existence. How could he do that? Because he exists. Oh, hallelujah. The reason I exist and you exist is because he exists. Woo. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so he said, you tell them. You tell them, I am sent you. You tell them, I exist. Now listen to some of the other, some of the things the prophets said about this. First of all, in John 5:26, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified. Jesus said this. He said, even as the Father has life in himself and is self-existent, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself and be self-existent. When God says, I am, I exist, he's also saying, I'm not dependent on anyone or anything else for my existence. I self-exist. Where did he come from? Himself. Where did he start? He didn't. Now that's where your head locks up. Because everything we know about had a start, right? And everything we've dealt with has an end. It's because everything down here is temporary. But where did it come from? And why does it exist? Listen to it again. This is John 5:26 in the Amplified. Even as the Father has life in himself, he didn't get it from somewhere else. Life in himself and is self-existent. See, that harkens back to I am. I exist. So he has given to the Son, our Master, our Savior, our Redeemer, to have life in himself and be self-existent. Glory to God. Now, the prophet said it like, well, let me just keep reading scriptures. Psalm 90:2, and this is the complete Jewish Bible, Psalm 90:2 says, before the mountains were born, before you had formed the earth and the world, from eternity past to eternity future, you are God. From where? Out of sight. To where? Out of sight. That's literally what eternity means. It means time out of mind. What does that mean? It just keeps going. And you don't know. Time out of mind. But it goes in both directions. And you know, if you read in the book of Revelation, where the Master talked about it, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Who was and is and is to come. Whew. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
That's who we worship. That's who our God is. The great I am. Hallelujah. You might say, well, okay, Brother Key, what does this have to do with provision? Come on, it ain't that big of a stretch. Anything you need would have to exist, right? Before you could utilize it. And the self-existent one never runs out. This is the thing also that your head has an issue with. Everything we know is affected by, you know, it's like a battery. It runs out. It's got to be recharged. Your gas tank, you burn it up, you got to fill it back up again. But with God, He never gets weary. There is no end to His power and to His strength. Somebody says, how does He do that? I don't know. You don't know. That's not the issue. You don't have to understand it to believe it.
Yes.
It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice. And everything you could ever need and every good thing you could ever possibly want or desire, it'd have to exist before you could even have access to it, much less lay hold of it or enjoy it. And that all starts with the basic. He exists. Oh, somebody say, He exists. The great I am exists. He does exist. He's real. This changes your life. You get past the religion. You get past the traditions and all the junk and ideas. Just this one basic anchor. Every breath I take, every time I open my eyes, every time I take a step, I'm not by myself.
Amen.
The great I am exists from eternity past to eternity future. He always is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And because of that, I have everything I need to exist and to function and to flourish, including abundant provision. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 45 and 5. Now you'll notice this actually in the 44th chapter as well, as he says the same thing more than one time. But it's worth reading right now. Isaiah 45:5. The Lord speaking Himself. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Well, how many gods are there? There are no others. Well, yeah, but you know, there's all these temples and millions of people can't be wrong. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. The majority is often wrong. Often wrong. Verse 6, he said that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That's it. Yeah, but Brother Keith, aren't you going to respect other people's religions and belief? I can't. I can't, or else I disrespect the only one true God.
Amen.
He commanded us. He said, I don't even want to hear their names in your mouth, these other gods, much less that you would acknowledge them and worship them. You know, I cringe when I see even Christians traveling around the world and they go into these temples of these false gods and they let these people burn incense and wave stuff over them and bless them. By who? Who? What God are we talking about here? Oh, friend, it's dangerous is what it is. Besides just totally disrespectful of the one true God. There is no other God. If there are other gods, the Bible's completely wrong. No. There's only one. And again, all you got to do is check your heart. Quit trying to figure everything out in your head. Check your heart. See what kind of witness you have. Your heart will tell you. There's one God, creator of the heavens and the earth. In 1 Chronicles, I'll just read it, but 1 Chronicles 29:11-13, he said, "Yours, O God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that's in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you, and you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." To hear some people talk, you would think that there's like two different gods, the one in the Old Testament and the one in the New. What do you mean? Well, it's obvious from all the, and we're reason number 12 now. It's obvious from what we've already covered that David knew a God who would make you rich and bless you. So did Abraham. So did Isaac. So did Jacob, right? So did Moses. I mean, all of these things that we kept seeing about wisdom, about glory, about all of this, it points to, it reveals a God who wants you to have abundance. Well, when did he change? When did the great I am become I used to be? Do y'all see why I'm talking about this now? Who has a right to change the I am to he was? Who can do that? It's been done. People have done it. When did he change? Now, our next point, I think, is going to have to do with the names of God. This is one of the ways that God revealed himself. I am that I am. I exist. But then, besides that, we see he revealed himself by a number, actually about nine major ones at least, the Jehovah compound names, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, several of these. And one of them is Jehovah Jireh, right? Yes. And El Shaddai. Yes. Take the healing one. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God who heals you.
Thank you.
Well, see, there's all kind of people to say that's all passed away. Oh, yeah, we read about it. There was some miracles in the church, you know, of healings and what have you. But God did some special things to kind of kickstart the church. But all that's passed away, and now we have doctors and medicine instead. Thank God for doctors and medicine, but they can't take the place of the power of God.
Right?
No. What are we saying? They're saying he changed. Who can say, you know, he said, I am the God who heals you. Well, he used to be. No. I am is I am. Right? And always will be. I am. True or not? Well, he is Jehovah Jireh. Huh? The Lord who provides. The Lord who sees ahead and provides the supply. He's El Shaddai. Hallelujah. He's the Almighty God. Who's everything you need. And see what people are saying is, well, no, that's changed. No, you changed. You're taking from the scriptures. You're adding to the scriptures. He didn't change. He's not going to change. He will never change. If he ever revealed himself and said, I am this, it'll never change. I said, it'll never change. He is the I am. And the I am is the God who heals you. The God who's always there. The God your peace. The God your righteousness. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts and the Lord who meets all your needs. Hallelujah. Who provides for you. Nobody has a right to say, that's change. That's change. No, I'm not accepting that. The I am never changes. Hallelujah. Come on, say it out loud. The I am is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, there's not two gods, one in the Old Testament and a different one in the New. God didn't change. And we didn't lose a bunch of things by the coming of Jesus.
No.
Are you kidding? We got a better covenant. Is that right? Not a worse covenant, a better covenant established on better promises. We got a mediator, hallelujah, of a better covenant. We didn't lose a thing. We gained all kind of things. Can you say thank you, Lord? Hallelujah. He said, you tell them, I am has sent you. I am. In Malachi, the third chapter, and we're running out of time again today, but we can pick up back up on this next class. But Malachi 3:6, I like this so much. Malachi 3:6. The Lord's again talking for himself. He said, I am. Have we heard this before?
Yes.
Now, from now on reading the scripture, anytime you see him start a sentence with I am, let it take you right back to the burning bush. Mm-hmm. Right? And remember, he's saying, I am the self-existent one who never changes. And he's about to reveal something else of his unchanging nature. He said, I am the Lord. What else?
I change not.
If you look at other translations, it says, I do not change. Another one said, I never change. I am the Lord. I change not. If he ever made people rich like Abraham, he's still doing the same thing. Is that right?
Yes.
If he ever healed people, he's still healing people.
Yes.
Not just he used to be, he is and always is. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's the reason you're not already wiped off the face of the earth, is because I never change. And somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's why we're going to make it all the way, because he is and always is and never changes. Praise God. That's it for today. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.